I know it's out of order, but...
Good morning, Board Chair, Board Members. I'm Mark Neely, Senior Engineering Geologist on staff, and I have switched hats since I last addressed you guys. I'm now in charge of the unit that deals with, among other things, non-point source, along with 401, wetland issues, TMDL implementation, and wineries. And it's a very exciting position with a wonderful staff, and one of those staff being Scott Gerges, who's going to give you the presentation today on our plans to come up with a permitting protocol for the dairies. And here is Scott.
Thank you, Mark. My name's Scott Gerges, as Mark pointed out. And I'd like to start off, this is just more of a status update more than anything else for the developing permits for dairies in the North Coast region. Okay, here we go. Just to give you some background on all this, as to why we're here and why we're dealing with this, there are approximately 140 dairies in the North Coast region. Breaking that down, there are about 70 dairies down here in the Sonoma County area in our region, and then probably another 70 dairies up north in the Humboldt County area, more specifically in the Eel River Plains area around Ferndale and Fortuna, and also several more in the Arcata Bottoms area, and then up further north in the Smith River area, there are about nine of them. In the year 2000, California's Non-Point Source Pollution Control Program identified confined animal feeding operations as a priority source of excess nutrients. The excess nutrients come from manures and that sort of thing, and those are contained in the wastewater and the runoff from those operations. In May 2004, the state adopted the non-point source policy, and that is all non-point source discharges must be regulated, and that includes dairies as well as several other industries and sources. Between August 2005 and March 2006, Diana Henriel and her staff, me, one of them, we went out and gathered information as to what these non-point source sources of pollution were. And Diana presented at several board meetings a list of these sources and a ranking, and dairies ranked fairly high in that. In April 2008, the sediment work plan was presented or developed, and dairies were ranked in there as contributing sediment. Where we are now is development of a dairy regulatory mechanism is now an element in the 2008 and 2009 Region 1 non-point source plan. And the good thing is we have funding for this. I'd like to cover applicable permit mechanisms. We put a matrix together on this. On the far left side, you'll see NPDS for NPDS permits, waste discharge requirements, or WDRs, and waiver of waste discharge requirements. I might add that in the box, WDRs, that also includes conditional waivers of waste discharge requirements. That's also an option there. Up at the top, we have herd size, discharge to waters of the U.S., discharge to waters of the state, and threat to water quality. Now, for these three main permit mechanisms that we have, the NPDS permit, herd size is a very important option to consider. There are the federal EPA has put together numbers, and if a dairy meets those certain numbers, they have to have an NPDS permit. There are other numbers to consider. The lower numbers, that's any dairy that has above 200. I'll go into this later in a following slide. But herds that are greater than 200 head in size, there are other considerations, and that's discharge to waters of the U.S. If they have a discharge and also a threat to water quality, they also have to have an NPDES permit. Now, for waste discharge requirements and the conditional waiver, herd size is not a consideration. However, discharge to waters of the state is a consideration, as well as threat to water quality. If they have, if there's a yes in those two boxes, well then the WDRs kick in. Waiver of waste discharge requirements. Herd size is not an option there. However, discharge to waters of the state is, and if the threat to water quality is minimal, well then they'd be eligible for a waiver of waste discharge requirements.
Scott, I just have to ask you, back up on that one.
Oh, sure.
Because I couldn't figure out minimal, what that meant. If there's a minimal threat, you're allowed to do a waiver, waste discharge. But if it's a discharge, it says yes, that it is a discharge, you're allowed to do a waiver, I mean, I guess.
It would depend upon what that discharge is. If there's a discharge, but that discharge is not appreciably affecting surface waters or groundwaters, you know, if it's a very minor effect, then yes, we have some leeway there.
It is an issue.
I'm going to cover the current dairy regulations that are out there. Now, we have both state and federal laws that regulate dairies. We have three state laws that regulate dairies, as well as three federal laws that I have listed up here. I'm going to cover the state laws first. The first one is Port of Cologne Water Quality Control Act. And that act requires any person discharging waste to submit a report of waste discharge. Now, the Port of Cologne is pretty much what drives us here. Those are our regulations. Then we also have the Basin Plan, and that contains water quality objectives. Thirdly, there's the Code of Regulations, California Code of Regulations, Title 27. Those are specifically written, or this several sections are specifically written for confined animal facilities, and that gives the regional water boards the responsibility and the authority to regulate confined animal feeding operations. Now, for federal codes, the first one here, we have a Code of Federal Regulations, and they have defined certain confined animal feeding operations subject to NPDES permits. Now, very briefly here, the federal regulations require what they call CAFOs, for confined feeding operations, that are covered by an NPDES permit, to develop a plan, and that's like a best management practices plan, better known as a nutrient management plan. And that plan's objective, it's designed to keep animal waste from contaminating surface water. For NPDES permits, it's surface water, discharges to surface water, whereas with the state regulations, it's both surface and groundwaters. I'd like to explain how, under the federal regulations, how a dairy is considered a CAFO. Okay, a dairy is considered a CAFO and must obtain NPDES permit if at least one of these following conditions are met. Okay, the first one is herd size. 700 or more mature dairy cattle are confined. Now, I want to talk a little bit about what confined entails. Confined means, you know, in a corral. It also entails cattle being confined for 45 days or more for an entire year. That doesn't have to be consecutive. It can be spread out over a year, but it's 45 days. Also, that corral or that similar structure, it can't have any vegetative growth in it. It has to be either just soil or manure. Now, those are the two, that, you know, the two conditions for being confined. Secondly, up here, 200 or more mature dairy cattle are confined, and we have two more things to add on to that. And pollutants are discharged into waters of the U.S. through a man-made ditch or similar man-made structure. Or, this is number two, a creek, stream, or concentrated flow of water originating off-site, for instance, uphill, you know, in a pasture or something like that. It has to flow through the confined animal operation, contact manure, or become contaminated, and then discharge to waters of the United States. Thirdly, up here, the regional board staff can inspect the site and make a determination of threat to surface water quality. And then from that determination, we can require a facility to get an NPDES permit. These are some more dairy regulations. These last two are both federal. They're more based on the Clean Water Act, the first one. Most water bodies in Region 1 are listed under Section 303D of the Clean Water Act. Primarily, categories are excess sediment, elevated temperatures, and nutrients. For example, the Laguna de Santa Rosa is listed for all three, and that is followed by the total maximum daily loads. So TMDL and a TMDL implementation plan are designed to reduce Section 303D pollutants. For example, when we bring the Laguna de Santa Rosa TMDL and the TMDL implementation plan before you, in that document we will be discussing what measures the dairies can use to reduce those pollutants from entering surface waters. We have several regulatory tools that we can use, and these are the tools that we've been thinking about in-house. We have multiple permitting mechanisms available to us, and these include as follows. Number one, the National Pollutant Discharge Elimination System permits, or the NPDES permits, and we have three options under that. We can either go with individual NPDES permits for each dairy. That's extremely time-consuming. And then we have a general NPDES permit that we can put together. Or we can use the industrial stormwater permit. Secondly, we have waste discharge requirements. Now, these can entail individual waste discharge requirements for each dairy, or we can go general waste discharge requirements and make a blanket permit and wrap in several dairies or all of them. Thirdly, there's the waiver of waste discharge requirements, and that waiver would be open to those facilities that have a very minimal threat to surface and groundwaters. Grant funding for dairies. This is important. I wanted to include this slide. Congress and legislature recognize that dairy compliance is important and provide funding to meet the dairy's efforts to comply with regulations. Now, we administer several grant funding sources here, the main one being Agricultural Water Quality Grant Program for Nonpoint Sources. That's administered by the State Water Resources Control Board and our office, and we have three main sources. The first one being, and that's more dairy specific, that's Proposition 40 grant monies. The second one is Proposition 50, that's also for agriculture, and Proposition 84. Secondly, up here, second category is a non-point source Proposition 13 grant funds. Those are also administered by the State Water Resources Control Board. Thirdly, we have the 319H non-point source implementation grant program. Those are federal funds that are given to the states, and then the State Water Resources Control Board oversees the application of those grant monies. For federal monies, we have the Environmental Quality Incentives Program. That's known as EQIP. Those are federal funds, and those are administered by the Natural Resources Conservation Service. And then lastly up there, I just found out about this several days ago, but there are Coastal Conservancy grant funds. And the Gold Ridge Resource Conservation Service recently received Coastal Conservancy funds totaling about $800,000. And those will be administered throughout the Estero-Americano area for several dairies out there. That will cover both nutrient management, manure management, pasture management, as well as exclusionary fencing around creeks and things, as well as several other things out there. There are several other sources for grant monies, but I'm not entirely familiar with them, and they are probably administered by the federal folks. Since 1998, Region 1 has administered 8 dairy-related grants for a total of over $2.3 million. Okay, I'd like to go through the next steps that we'd like to cover, or the next steps for the future. During the development of the permitting framework, staff outreach will include the following. We plan to have meetings with interested parties and other agencies, and these include several resource conservation districts in our region. That would be Sodiomi, the Gold Ridge, Humboldt County Resource Conservation District, and the Humboldt County Resource Conservation District is also helping out with the Del Norte County Resource Conservation District, which is a brand new one. I think they've been in operation for about a year, and they've been lending some assistance to those folks so they can get up to speed. We found them to be very, very helpful in assisting dairies with the grant funding. Secondly, Farm Bureau, wildlife agencies, that includes California Department of Fish and Game, NOAA, National Marine Fisheries Service, and U.S. Fish and Wildlife, and any others that would like to participate. The California Cooperative Extension folks and the National Resource Conservation Service, so that would be both the Southern Sonoma County Natural Resource Conservation Service as well as the Humboldt County Natural Resource Conservation Service. And also United Western Dairymen and other industry groups. We've been working with Mr. Paul Martin and Leslie Corp of the United Western Dairymen, and both of them have been very helpful so far in helping us put this together. And then also other interested parties. We also plan to put on staff workshops and field tours conducted in both the northern and southern areas of our region. I think you'll find that the northern dairies are very different from the southern dairies. That's mostly because of climatic conditions. It's you have more of a marine influence up north, so you'll find the pastures to be a lot greener up there, whereas down here they're dry and everything pretty much the plants all go into dormancy down here, or they just dry up. We'll also have California Environmental Quality Act scoping meetings. Those will be necessary when we develop the general waste discharge requirements and the waiver. Those are required. And then communication using the Regional Board website. And we plan to report back to the Regional Board in early 2009. Thank you. That concludes my presentation. Any questions?
Any board member questions, comments?
Just when we get to the point of what we want, I would spend considerable length of time thinking through which are the most effective tools both for us and that provide BMP certainty for the regulated community, and I really feel that would be a good investment. For example, that would suggest waivers within the waste discharge requirement because you can clearly specify a BMP. It would suggest on CAFO, if you treated that as a minimum required NPDES permit, but that there might be other NPDES permits. That, of course, allows best management practices to be implemented. So I would really, and your chart will have to be adjusted a little bit. I don't want to waste time here, but it's not quite legally precise. And but I think that will be as important as what you want to do is thinking through good mechanisms for people to comply and good mechanisms for us requiring them to comply.
Yes, I've taken a look at the regulatory mechanisms that three of the other regional boards are using. I've taken a look at Region 2, San Francisco Bay Board, and their regulatory mechanism appears to be very practical. And I would like to. My preference is to go with that one. But of course, it's going to be up to you.
Could you send the board a copy of that?
Just sure.
Background or myself,
sure.
Whatever.
Thanks. Sure. I've also taken a look at Region 5's. They have a very large permit. It's about 128 pages long. It covers a lot of things. And I've also taken a look at the Region 8 permit, Santa Ana, and those are all NPDES permits. No waste discharge requirements. And I will forward a copy of the Region 2 permit to Kat and Jean, and then they can distribute it to you.
Okay.
Is there anything else I can help you with?
Mr. Norton.
Scott, thanks for bringing this information to us today. A couple questions. Out of the 140 dairies, do you know how many of them go above these thresholds now? Do you have any feel for inventory of what these dairies are and aren't?
We have 5 NPDES permits out there on dairies. That's all I can tell you right now.
But are those NPDES permits because they're not just a dairy, because they're also making cheese, or they're doing something else like a compost operation or something like that?
As far as I know, they're just dairies.
Okay.
Starting with up north, up in the Smith River Plains area, that's the Alexander Dairy. That's a big dairy. And I'm not familiar with any dairies in the Eel River Plains or Arcata Bottoms area. But down here we have the McClellan Dairy, the Renati Dairy, and the DiBernardi Dairy, and the Diamond W. And those are all fairly large dairies. Oh, and then the Walter Stornetta Dairy up in Mendocino County.
Point Arena.
By Point Arena, yes.
Okay. Yeah, because that's been my experience is that, you know, we are not a Region 5 dairy kind of area. Region 5 has 5,000 cow dairies, and as far as I know, we don't have those kinds of dairies in our area. And that I would encourage, you and I have talked a little bit about this, but just to be completely open about it, I agree with Mr. Corbett in that, you know, the Region 2, you know, type practicality of that permit is probably more applicable. I've always thought that I was actually of the opinion that, you know, Region 2 it was ahead of us on this call, and that because of a political boundary, you know, we have regions that are simply, or dairies that are simply over the line and a little bit further south of us that are within a mechanism when we aren't. And so I'm actually very pleased to see this coming to the fore now, that we're actually implementing a process here that we can live by. I find it interesting, too, that, you know, we have accepted a sediment work plan, and we've also accepted or at least working on a TMDL process, and I think with nutrient offsets and wastewater reuse, and because of the geography and location of dairies, that they do have a part to play within a lot of our pieces, parts, and programs and policies that we have working now. Mm-hmm. I think this is great. I think it's time to do this. The other point is, too, the CAFOs aren't only dairies, though, correct?
That's correct. CAFOs also include, it's all based on numbers of animals, but they also include poultry operations, you know, chickens, ducks, mm-hmm. turkeys, as well as horse operations. But those are very large horse operations,
sure.
As well as like beef cattle operations, sheep, lambs, and hog operations.
As far as that goes, too, Scott, from the standpoint, I know the dairies, as far as I know, and in talking to them, have also worked or are working on dairy quality assurance programs, which you mentioned in passing here, and that I assume that we're going to use some of that work that they've done, just like any other time within our policies, to incorporate pieces and parts and maybe modify collectively what we're doing and they're doing. to work towards the permit.
Absolutely.
Okay, good. And I see, too, I'm actually scheduled for a tour along with some of my other board members here, and that we are touring some of the southern dairies here. I assume we're also going to do that in the Northlands?
I'm hoping so. I would very much like you to see the difference between the two areas. It's a subtle difference, Scott.
You know. Thank you very much for bringing this.
You're welcome.
I appreciate it.
Board Chair has one concern about the northern dairies. I see the next time that this board meets in Fortuna is in September of 2009. So I don't know how we integrate ourselves with that, but that's, you know, as it is. This is not this informational item. I know Paul Martin's with us today here in the room. Do you want to say anything, Paul? You don't need to. We're happy to move on.
I'm happy to answer any questions the Scott has got.
Okay, again, Paul Martin, United Western Dairymen. So, and Scott, are you engaged with the, I think it still exists, the Dairy Waste Committee that meets between Regions 1 and 2, does that still meet, or is it?
Yes, that still meets, and I plan to start attending.
That'd be great. Anybody else? We're going to move along. Appreciate it again,